Friar Hugo paced several times around the fish and dabbed at it with his dock leaf.
Long time since I baked a carp. Brother Trug, bring me bay leaves, dill, parsley, and flaked chestnuts. Oh, and don't forget the hot root pepper and cream. Lots of cream.
An otter lingered near the carp, licking her lips at the mention of the sauce ingredients.
How's about some fresh little water shrimp for a garnish, Friar?
She suggested.
That'd make prime victuals.
The fat mouse shooed her off with his dock leaf.
Oh, be off with you, Winifred. I've counted every scale on that fish. If you're going for water shrimp, I'll need at least two nets full for a decent garnish.
The bee folk had been extra productive and kind in this summer of the Golden Plain, and honey was plentiful. It dripped off the symmetrical combs in shining, sticky globules. Jess Squirrel and her son Sam were storing it in three flat butts, the clear, the set, and the open comb type, much favoured by squirrels. From the cellars came the slightly off-key sound of singing, a quavering treble from Basil Staghare, backed by the gruff bass harmony of Ambrose Spike.
Oh, if I feel sick or pale, what makes my old eyes shine? Some good October ale and sweet black currant wine. I'd kill a dragon for half a flagon. I'd wrestle a stoat to wet my throat. I'd strangle a snake all for the sake of lovely nut brown beer. Nut brown beer.
Upstairs in the vegetable store, Mrs. Letty Bankvall was remonstrating with her young offspring, baby Rollo. He had learned the words after his own fashion and was singing uproariously in a deep, rough gurgle.
I strangle a snake and wet his throat. I wrestle a dragon and steal his coat.
Baby Rollo, stop that this instant. Cover your ears and help me with this salad.
I wallop a snake with an old rock cake.
Rollo, go and play outside and stop listening to those dreadful songs. Strangling dragons and swigging beer. Where will it all end?
Matameo was finding out that roses had sharp thorns. For the second time that day, he sucked at his paw, nipping out the pointed rose thorn with his teeth. Tim Churchmouse had gone off shrimping with the otters. Tess stayed behind out of pity for the warrior's son.
Here, Matty, you stack those baskets on the cart for your mum. I'll arrange the roses for you. You've got them in a right old mess.
Matameo winked gratefully at her.
Thanks, Tess. I'm about as much use as a mole at flying with all these flowers. I never thought it would be such hard work.
Then why did you volunteer for it?
I never volunteered,
he explained.
Dad said I have to do it as part of my punishment for fighting with Vich.
Tess stamped her paw.
Oh, that little rat. It's so unfair. It was he who provoked you into that fight. Look, there he is now, over by the tables, having a sly snigger at you.
Matameo saw Vich leaning idly on a table. He sneered and pulled tongues in the young mouse's direction. Matameo felt his temper rising.
I'll give him something to stick his tongue out at in a moment,
he muttered under his breath.
I'll throttle him so hard it'll stick out permanently.
Tess felt sorry for her friend.
Pay no attention to him, Matty. He's only trying to get you into more trouble.
It was difficult for Matameo to ignore Vich. Now the rat was wiggling a paw to his snout end at his enemy. The young mouse straightened his back from the pile of baskets.
Right, that's it. I've taken all I can stand of his insults.
Quickly, Tess dodged past Matameo and ran towards Vich, who was still grimacing impudently. Angrily, the young church mouse picked up the first thing that came to her paw. It was a pliant rose stem. She ran towards Vich, calling out urgently.
Look out, Vich! There's a great big wasp on your tail. Stay still. I'll get it.
Startled by Tess's warning cry, Vich obeyed instantly, turning and bending slightly so she could deal with the offending insect. There was no sign of a wasp behind Vich. Tess swung the rose stem, surprised at her own temper, but unable to stop the swishing descent of the whippy branch. It thwacked down hard across Vich's bottom with stinging speed. Swish! Crack!
Yeah!
The rat straightened like a ramrod. Leaping high in the air, he rubbed furiously with both paws at the agonising sting. Cornflower came hurrying over.
Oh, dear, the poor creature. What happened, Tess?
The young church mouse looked the picture of innocence, though she felt far from it. Blushing deeply, she stammered an excuse.
Oh, golly. Vitch had a wasp on his bottom, but I couldn't brush it off in time. I think he's been stung.
Vitch was thrashing about on the grass, tears squeezing out onto his cheeks as he rubbed furiously at his tender rump. Cornflower was genuinely concerned.
Oh, you poor thing. Don't rub it. You'll make it worse. Go to Sister May at the infirmary and she'll put some herb ointment on it for you. Tess, show him where it is, please.
Scrambling up, Vitch avoided Tess's paw and dashed off sobbing. Tess turned to Matameo.
Ah, poor Vitch. It must be very uncomfortable,
she said, her voice dripping sympathy. Matameo tried hard to keep a straight face.
Indeed it must. It's a terrible thing to be stung on the bottom by a church mouse. Wasp, I mean.
Cornflower put her paws about them both.
Yes, of course. Now you two run off and play. There may be other wasps about and I don't want either of you stung. Come on, Matty. Let's go water shrimping with Tim and the otters,
Tess suggested.
Great! I'll race you over there. 1, 2, 3, go!
Cornflower shaded her eyes with a paw as she watched them run.
What a lively young pair,
she said aloud. Mrs. Church Mouse arrived, carrying a pansy and king cup bouquet.
Yes, but you watch your Matty. He'll let her win. He's very fond of my little Tess.
Bless them. That's the way it should be.
Cornflower nodded, smiling.
This ends Disc 1.